is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Beyond Resistance, a People's Movement in a Just World, with National Nurses United and Senator Bernie Sanders.
At a time of tremendous turmoil and progressive opportunity, thousands gathered to participate in a historic convening committed to social, racial, and economic justice. Activists came together committed to a different kind of agenda, a people's agenda that can enhance and expand issue campaigns and hold all elected officials accountable to popular demands for justice,
equality, and freedom. You'll hear a report back from the summit, which was envisioned as a deepening the relationship between participating organizations rooted in a principled anti-corporatist politics, development of community leaders, direct action, and strategic organizing to build power. And we'll hear the summit keynoter, Senator Bernie Sanders.
But first, we welcome Deborah Berger, co-president of America's RN Union, National Nurses United, and co-convener of the Beyond Resistance Summit. Are you still feeling excited and jubilant about the turnout this weekend?
I really am, and thank you for giving us the space to report back, because the mainstream media was significantly absent from the People's Summit, and we want to make sure we get the message out there, because there's almost a conspiracy to keep the victories of working people and the people of this country under wraps, so it looks like there really isn't the pushback from the our revolution in this country. They're trying to minimize it. So thank you for giving us that space.
This is People's Radio, and that's why we exist. And you used the word revolution just a second ago. Talk about the revolution that occurred, the purpose, and what kind of wondrous things occurred with this huge number of people from community activism throughout the entire country that came together this weekend in Chicago.
We had 49 states. The only state that did not get anyone attending was Wyoming. So we had 49 states. Over 50% of the attendees were under 35. We had a huge diversity of various ethnic groups. We had a diversity of political views. We gave many, many scholarships out so that people could attend that couldn't afford it, because we feel everybody needs to be represented in the summit. We believe it was extremely successful because everybody stayed until the final closing of the summit. And in fact, some people arranged to have post-summit breakout working sessions. So we believe that we accomplished exactly what we needed to, which was to highlight our successes and come up with a working plan for where we go from now.
What are the major issues that the participants want to work on? What is the plan that you're talking about?
Well, see, and that's interesting, because what we're trying to do is not only change the electoral system, the politics, and get more progressive people to run, but what we tried to do was give people a forum to set the priorities for their areas. So we had all 50 states breaking out by state, and then in those work groups, letting people work on and encouraging people to work on issues that were pertinent to their area, because in some areas there isn't fracking and that isn't an issue, but healthcare is an issue. In some areas, the border areas, there's more of an issue with the immigration policies and how building the wall will take resources from healthcare and other much needed programs. So it wasn't like a one size fits all. We had Food and Water Watch. We had people from Black Lives Matter. We had people from Climate Watch, from all of these organizations working at all of this within all of the states to come up with plans and to try and not silo us. That's probably the biggest thing that we dealt with at this summit was, yes, healthcare is important to nurses, but so is clean air and clean water. So trying to say, okay, while we're lobbying or working for single payer, we can also include all of these other agendas. And one example is the Black Lives Matter group, right? All of the racial inequities and racial targeting and racial profiling ends up playing into how healthcare is administered and received. We know that the healthcare outcomes for communities of color are worse, right? So when we're working in those groups, we can also be talking about these other issues. And I think that that's one of the things that we realized is that it's almost like a way of diminishing our energy and dissipating our a collective by saying, okay, you have to work on this issue only, and you have to work on this, and you have to work on this. And what ends up happening is it diminishes the volume of people that are present and visible on these issues at a politician's office or at a politician's town hall. So if we're all speaking in one voice for all of these issues, they can't divide us and then pit each other against each other and say, I only have $50 to spend on this. So you have to decide if it's going to health care or clean water.
Deborah, let me just ask you practically, structurally maybe, how we become less compartmentalized. We don't want to dissipate our energies. If I'm working on a particular issue around housing or healthcare, or if I'm working around the issue of racial justice or LGBTQIA rights, that's a full-time job in essence. So how again, do you, without dissipating the message of any one of these issues, create that intersection and that broad tent where we work together? Is it about a specific agenda or programmatic conclusions adopt?
It's a different way of actually looking at things. I think nurses are probably one example of how nurses look at issues and look at the human body. When you have a doctor working with you or treating you, he's looking at your hip, or he's looking at your heart, or he's looking at your lungs, or he's looking at your head, right? And so he's the specialist that does that. Okay, so if you equate that to all of our issues, like the clean air, the clean water specialist, the clean this specialist, what nurses do is they look at things holistically. And so what you end up doing is saying, okay, you can't have a healthy body if you don't have clean air. You can't have a healthy healthcare system if you have polluted air. You can't have somebody expected to take care of their children and their family if they don't have a proper education because they don't know how to budget their money. So I think compartmentalizing things, even though they all have almost full-time jobs on them, we have to see all of their intersections, their interconnectedness, and be able to speak to each other's issue. So like when we're lobbying on healthcare, we're also talking to the politician about the open Petcoke piles in Chicago. When we're talking about the water in Flint, we're also talking about the lack of health care in those areas, right? So we have to learn a different way of looking at our specific issues so that we're not siloed. I think that that was probably the best part of the Bernie Sanders campaign, was he had a wide range of agendas. He didn't just campaign on one idea.
How does this then come together in the aftermath? I think the what we could use the word of breaking out of our silos or intersectionality on the different issues. Philosophically, how critical we are the whole. Well, we are not the, you know, we are the sum of our parts. We are the whole.
Exactly.
So where do we go from here? Is this about keeping together an organization with a name, with a sign-up sheet that Ken and I can join in?
Well, I think that this was one of the things that came out of the breakouts from the statewide regional grouping planning meetings, was what we could do to work together, you know, so that we can actually share information about events that are happening. We can share our information on legislatures. We can actually commit to being there for each other's important, you know, not for every single little rally, but for really important what you would target, what the organization or that group would prioritize as a must-do event. So the Nurses Association has formed these metro councils in the various areas so that we have food and water and the clean air and clean water groups that can come and share their issues and share their concerns and give them reports on what's happening. So there's more intermixing and interworking with groups together, because usually it's Food and Water Watch are people that are committed to that issue that are from various occupations. So we're trying to replicate a lot of that in how nurses relate to a lot of these communities and incorporate them into their structures so that we're actually talking with them. Because one of the things we learned at the summit was, in this day and age of social media and being able to reach each other on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those, is unless people actually have face-to-face interaction, they're still feeling isolated, right? And that was really stunning to realize, is that social media isn't replacing the one-on-one relationships that people develop. And I think that that was the biggest thing that came out of the summit.
How do we find out more about this endeavor and get to be part of it? And then we're going to listen to Senator Bernie Sanders.
Okay. National Nurses United website will have follow-up from the People Summit. The People Summit, PPLSummit.org, will have information on that. And you can actually do some of the live feeds from that event as well. So we will be following up, and I'd love to make sure that your group is also included in that.
Well, we insist, and we're going to have you back. We're going to continue
Perfect.
To talk about how things progress from here. And thank you for your efforts, and cheers. Cheers to National Nurses United. They have been superb. We've been speaking
Thank
with
you.
Deborah Berger, co-president of National Nurses United. And now we get to hear from Bernie Sanders as he addressed people at this spectacular People's Movement for a Just World Summit.
We are going to make the political revolution. The question all over this country that people are asking themselves is, when will my life get better? The American people are profoundly sick and tired of establishment politics and establishment economics. At a time of massive, vulgar income and wealth inequality, and the movement of our country toward an oligarchy where a handful of billionaires control our economy, our political life, and much of the media. The American people want a government that represents all of us, not just the 1%. The movement for economic, social, racial, and environmental justice is growing worldwide. All over the world, people are asking, how does it happen that globally the top 1% now owns more wealth than the bottom 99%? And just the other day in the UK, against all of the predictions, the Labour Party there won 30 new seats. And they won those seats not by moving to the right, not by becoming more conciliatory. They won those seats by standing up to the ruling class of the UK. And all of us congratulate Jeremy Corbyn and his team for what they've accomplished. It's not Bernie, it is you. We are in this together and always have been and always will be. There is no question that we have won the battle of ideas. Because of the grassroots efforts of activists like you throughout this country, we have made enormous progress in advancing the progressive agenda. If 5 years ago somebody here jumped up and they said, we gotta raise that minimum wage to $15 an hour, person next to you would have said, can't be done. Today, $15 an hour legislation is being passed by city councils and state legislatures all across America. The working people of this nation need a raise. If you work 40 or 50 hours a week, you should not be living in poverty. And my pledge to you is we will pass legislation making it easier for workers to form unions. Five years ago, there was widespread belief that the Affordable Care Act was about as far as we could go. Today, that view is radically changing. Nurses, thank you for your help on this. And what the American people are catching on to is the function of health care is to provide quality care to all people, not to make billions in profits for the insurance companies or the drug companies. The California State Senate has passed single payer. Thank you, nurses. Further, by overwhelming numbers, the American people support comprehensive immigration reform and a path toward citizenship. No, we're not going to scapegoat the undocumented in this country, and we're going to work with them to create a path toward citizenship. By overwhelming numbers, the American people understand that there is something wrong and disgraceful when the United States has more people in jail than any other country on earth, and that there is something profoundly wrong when we understand that the people in jail are disproportionately African American, Latino, and Native American. We are seeing more and more progressives becoming involved in the political process, running for office, and winning office. Because there have been victories all across this country. Let me just mention a few. Jackson, Mississippi. Has a new mayor, Mayor Lumumba. Philadelphia has a new district attorney, Larry Krasner. Christine Pellegrino won a landslide victory for the New York State Assembly in a district that had overwhelmingly gone for Donald Trump. Those are just a few of the victories that we have won. This is the political revolution. That's the good news. Let me give you the bad news that you also know. In the White House, we have perhaps the worst and most dangerous president in the history of our country. He pushes some of the most destructive pieces of legislation that will cause intense suffering and pain for millions of working class families. Trump, do not tell us that you are a friend of the working class when you propose to throw 23 million Americans off of health care. When you want to cut Medicaid by over $800 billion, when you want to raise premiums for older workers in a very dramatic way, and when you tell 2.5 million women that they no longer have the option of getting their health care at Planned Parenthood. As Trump makes massive cuts to life and death programs for millions and millions of children, working people, the elderly, the sick and the poor, he proposes a budget that over a 10-year period would provide $3 trillion in tax breaks to the top 1%. What he is doing is trying to divide us up by our religion, by our race, by our gender, or where our families came from. This country has struggled too long. Too many people have fought, too many people have died, too many people have been beaten, too many people have gone to jail in the fights against racism, sexism, xenophobia, and homophobia. Mr. Trump, we are not going backwards, we are going forwards. How did it come about that Donald Trump won the election? And my answer is that Trump didn't win the election. The Democratic Party lost the election. Current strategy of the Democratic Party is an absolute failure. Today, in almost half of the states in America, Democratic Party has almost no political presence at all. If that's not a failed model, I don't know what a failed model is. Democratic Party needs fundamental change. What it needs is to open up its doors to working people and young people and all people who are prepared to fight for social and economic justice. The Democratic Party must understand which side it is on. And that cannot be the side of Wall Street or the fossil fuel industry or the drug companies. The nature of our corrupt political system, which, as a result of Citizens United, allows billionaires like the Koch brothers to spend unlimited amounts of money. They tried to undermine the honesty and integrity of progressive campaigns. All corporate media is not particularly interested in our issues, that Republican governors all across this country are working overtime to suppress the vote, to make it harder for people of color to vote. That is what we are facing today. I want you to think about the incredibly brave heroes and heroines in our history against unbelievably daunting odds who risked their lives for social justice, for economic justice, for racial justice. We are taking on an extremely powerful billionaire class whose greed has destroyed the middle class of this country, whose greed says that it is not enough that the top 1% today owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. Not enough. They want it all. We are saying today we are going to stand up to that greed, to that recklessness, and tell the billionaire class that this nation belongs to all of us. When we stand together and not allow demagogues to divide us up by the color of our skin or the country we came from, or our sexual orientation, or our gender. When we stand together, there is nothing that will stop us.
Who else? Senator Bernie Sanders at the People's Summit. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.